WTF is Retail, presented by Knotted Commerce, the integration specialists for growing retail brands.
Have a little swig of this. Oh, best water I've ever tasted. That's the advert.
You get on Google, yeah.
Woo. Guys, just buy it. Welcome back to another episode of the WTF is Retail podcast. Today we're joined by John Mulvaney, the head of UK and Ireland operations at Cano Water.
Yep.
Didn't mispronounce it.
We've had all sorts, don't worry.
Smash. How are you doing today?
Yeah, good. Excited to speak to you guys. Lots happening, so.
Awesome.
Excited.
And yeah, we're in your lovely office. For the watchers, for the people who can see this, we've got a beautiful graphic behind here that John said he actually designed himself.
How many days did you take credit for that?
we've got a really interesting episode today because obviously Cano Water, you've probably seen them about. They're growing really quickly, really cool branding. They've recently won a load of awards. They're growing quickly, and we've got the operations dude who's obviously helping scale that up. So it's going to be quite an interesting kind of story. So I think to start, oh, also worth saying, I'm with Tom.
Cheers, mate.
Morning.
Oh, it's glad I got my introduction.
Yeah, Tom's here.
And I'm well, thanks.
Yeah. Are you okay?
I'm good, yeah.
And he's not in the same clothes as last week.
Yeah.
Thanks for that. Thanks for coming out.
Different clothes today, which is always nice.
Good.
we always start the episode, John, with kind of kicking it off. Cano Water, could you tell us a little bit about it and why and how it was born?
Yeah, absolutely. So Cano Water was born 9 years ago. So quite before this big movement that we've seen in the sort of last 5 years towards sustainability and consumers choosing sustainable products. The three founders, Josh, Ariel and Perry, went out to Thailand on a lad's holiday after dropping out of school and whatnot, and their other ventures, and saw all of these plastic bottles on the beach over there with brands that they knew, the French companies.
We won't say that.
I'm not going to brand bash. But they saw all this plastic waste out on there from brands that they recognised, and came back with a desire and a drive to sort of find an alternative to a single-use plastic bottle. Primarily in water, because that's the brands that they were seeing out there. Did their research, and at the time and even still today, aluminium cans as a package, as a beverage container, were the most recycled container in the industry. I think back at the time it was 76% recycling rates, and today I believe it's up to 82% when you look at drinks containers by themselves. So, and that all has to do with all the infrastructure and ways that you can sort through. It's a lot easier. You pass an eddy current, it spits it out, and then it's that sorting process is so much easier than plastic, for example, where you've got 10 different types of plastic. There's a lot of sorting required, etc. So they came up with a concept, went out to investors with the concept only, went out to buyers and built up a deck of customers that were willing to place orders. Selfridges were one of the first ones.
Wow.
With 1,000 can order. Now, MOQs on cans at the time were 150,000 cans, so they had to do a lot more work to build up that book before they could get to their first production.
And did they have any background already in business or anything? Or
no, so Perry is an amazing graphic designer, as you can see for the viewers. Josh was running a DJing event, and I'm not quite sure what Ariel was doing at the time.
I'm seeing a recurring theme with DJs.
That's true.
Yeah. Our last podcast guest, he was also kind of like a DJ at some point. So I don't know what it is with DJs and starting trendy kind of brands.
Josh loves it. He still does it to this day for events as well. Then business was ticking over. David Attenborough, I'm not sure if you remember it, the Blue Planet moment where he's standing there with the turtles with the plastic straws, but also standing there on the beach with plastic bottles. Almost overnight, the business went from doing 300,000 cans to 3 million cans a year.
Wow. Jesus.
And that was really the big growth trajectory, which kicked us all off on the way.
How much do you pay David to do that?
No, we do very minimal paid. So, although if David, you're listening, please get in touch.
David is coincidentally our number one listener.
Yeah. We do have a cardboard cutout of him in the warehouse here.
Really?
Yeah.
I reckon we just Photoshop him in right here.
And go get him.
Yeah.
that took us to 3 million. We're now at roughly between 15 to 20 million cans a year. So that growth is just keeps on coming.
Awesome. When we're at today. 2021, 2022? When did the business
start? 9 years ago, so 2015.
Wow.
Okay. So 10 years next year, which is exciting. Yeah. Some quite ambitious targets to hit as well when we get to that 10-year mark.
Wow, nice.
I guess in that time as well, brought on quite a lot of household names in terms of investors. So we've got Ricky Gervais, three of the Sidemen, Jess Glynn, Dave, and a few others.
How does someone come about, you know, acquiring these massive names?
I don't get involved in that bit. I'll leave that to Josh and the finance. Lots of networking, lots of meetings and dinners and things like that. But I think having a clear brand, having a brand that resonates with people, you know, Ricky Gervais is all over environment and sustainability and is a big advocate for it. So I think having a brand that resonates with people is...
Yeah.
Crucial towards that.
Interesting.
A few name drops there, isn't it?
Yeah. And which three Sidemen?
So
no pressure here to get them right.
No, it's Vicstar, Harry, and Simon.
This is meant. Out of all the things I thought I was going to hear today, it wasn't going to be that three Sidemen. kind of water.
They're all on the Hall of Fame.
Are they?
Up the stairs.
Have they been in this office?
They, I think they have been at times, but I haven't been there to see them yet.
Yeah, do they keep you separate?
Yes. Yeah.
Keep the operations.
I get pitching. I get put away around my corner.
Yeah.
When important people turn up, no.
That's very cool. And then this is a big shout out to your marketing team. Actually, I saw a video recently, and it was like this old English. Dressed up kind of thing, and it was actually such an awesome video.
Thank you.
And yeah, obviously you're shifting your production to the UK from Austria, I believe. Could you tell us a little bit about that, why you're doing that? What was the process before in Austria? What have you got against Austria? Why do you hate Austria?
we don't hate Austria. We have great partners out there. That video was fantastic. It was marketing team.
So good.
Really leaning into the moment as well. So it was the Bridgerton new season release at the time. We wanted to go for that juxtaposition, that sort of imperfection, but perfect and very British and bringing things home and not just the made in Britain way, leaning into the culture, which is something we do quite a lot.
Did you collaborate with someone to create that piece of videography?
I believe we did, but to my head, I don't know.
But it's very, very professional. It's really cool.
Thank you. So why move to the UK? So it goes back to the old days, and it was always the desire, the dream to fill in the UK. But 9 years ago, when no one else was putting water in a can, a lot of the co-packers that we were going to didn't want to do it or couldn't do it. So you either found a canning line that would do it, but they didn't have a borehole for the water. Or you found someone with a borehole, but they didn't have a canning line, right? So then the guys started looking into Europe. You know, it's a very accepted thing within the water market to import your water. You know, it's to be a spring water, you have to fill at source. So your brands are going to be aligned to where they're filling. And then they found Startsinger in Austria, who've been one of the best partners over the last nine and a half years to us, who had an amazing source of water in the Austrian Alps, but also had a canning line and were also willing to take the risk on us, because it was a risk. But 9 years goes on, other people enter the market, and while we've been in Austria, people are now doing UK canned water themselves here. So that opportunity and that proof of principle that Cano really started and still leads, had flourished again. And that's the point when I joined. So my first project at joining Cano was to find a UK product, UK sourced water, and somebody that would fill it. And that drive to move was from a few factors. So over the last 3 to 4 years, you've seen customers, and when I say customers, I talk about business partners primarily. They have a real desire around provenance of where it's coming from, which feeds from two bits. There's the sort of pride in your nation, but there's also the sustainability aspect of it. You know, you're cutting, by moving to the UK, we cut our carbon emissions by 52% across all our SKUs, purely from transport miles.
How were you
with a little bit of lightweighting?
Was it lorry or was it plane?
It was road.
Road, yeah.
Yeah. So quite an intensive process, which, you know, companies still do, but we decided that's not what we wanted to do any longer. We wanted to cut our emissions and offer our customers a British locally sourced product, which has opened up a lot of doors for us, which we're starting to see flow through now.
And what challenges did that bring, bringing the operations to the UK?
Quite large ones. So yeah, the first one was quality of water.
Okay.
So, you know, when you think of spring water, you think of the mountains, you think of clean, fresh water that's gone through. And obviously there's not too many mountains that can, there is, but there's not too many mountains and springs in the UK that can offer the same quality of water to Austrian Alps. The second one would be cost. While the transport and customs was expensive, bringing it back over from Austria, manufacturing was cheaper and everything like there. So it was finding that balance between cost and sustainability that we really had to battle through, but also finding somebody that knew how to can water. It is, and I've only realized this since I've previously at Fevertree and Pernod Ricard, right, been in heavily flavored or quite strong flavored drinks. Water picks up everything, so if there's a slight taint, you know, like they'd run strawberry daiquiri down the line before us, for example, water will find it and it will pick it up. Right. So having somebody with the expertise to can water without tainting that water was imperative for brand identity and maintaining that quality of the water.
And where is your, are you allowed to say, where is your current spring?
Yeah, so we are filling in Hereford at the moment.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, found a great partner there. Very much like us, moved very quickly. They've done water before, and we'll get on to MPD, EPD, things like that. But they're the right size and they have the expertise on site, and have been great for us.
Yeah.
But it took a long time to find them. It's been a year project to find the correct partner, with myself, Josh, the founder, driving up and down the country, myself and Dean going to other places. I think in total we visited 14 different facilities to get down to the final one. And we're really happy.
And when you find the right partner, is it like a, do you kind of sign a long-term contract together to like maintain that consistency so you can plan ahead? Is that how it works?
Yeah. Yeah, so we are contracted to them now. And yeah, so we're looking at a year-long deal, multiple year-long deal with them.
Nice. Very cool. And in terms of the cans, are these manufactured in the UK or?
So the 330ml cans are produced in France. That is the closest facility to the UK. It only does 45 kilometres in France before it's in the UK. So we tactically chose that one with our supplier. The 500ml cans are made in the UK, and there are plans for 2025 to have the 330ml coming from the UK as well. So there'll be further sustainability gains through that as well.
Cool.
I'd like to take a second to thank our season 3 sponsor, the Big Fat Knots Ecom Lunch, for all your ecom networking needs. You can find out more about their events and how to register on LinkedIn, the Big Fat Knots Ecom Lunch.
And we kind of touched on this a little bit before. Is there any specific operational challenges that you've come across? You know, obviously you've only been here a year or so. Yep. Is there anything that jumps out to you which you're like, frigging hell, that was a proper pain? And if so, yeah, could you just tell us about it?
Yeah, so depends how nerdy you want me to get.
We can get nerdy.
So there's, when we were in Austria, let's take the box, for example. Mm-hmm. So their canning lines can run through into a corrugated box, which is your normal cardboard box, double wall, really thick, really sturdy, mm-hmm. great at protecting the cans. Now, all of the production lines in the UK are on craft board, which is the very, your classic Coca-Cola material in the box. So doing a lot of the testing through that was very difficult. Gaining confidence of the wider team that it would provide the same protection to the cans inside, even though it's about a quarter of the thickness, was tricky. So that's internally. Externally, it was probably the messaging about why we did it. Because, yes, we can talk about sustainability, but there's also a huge cost saving that we made through the transport and through the customs clearance and everything like that. So that how we message externally around that is tricky.
Yeah, I suppose as well, as you've done with the video stuff, like leaning into the British company, British Water.
Yeah,
you know,
it's something we now apply to all regions that we enter. So we recently have started with a incubator as a proof of principle in the States, and we're using a state local water there, and it will be something that we apply to other markets as we expand.
In the UK, it's like one of those places. I've lived in a few places in Europe and stuff, but the UK is like, British people just love things to be from the UK.
They do, yeah.
It's like a thing, I don't know. Like, we see it in Tesco, if I can even say Tesco. I don't know if I'm allowed to say that one. Not Tesco, so don't know.
We're in them, so.
Yeah. Oh, really? Well, we can say Tesco. go and get your can of water in Tesco right now. You know, all of it's like, oh, British chicken, British this, British that. It's just Britain over everything.
Yeah.
And even me, who doesn't even care that much, is like, yeah, this is good quality. It has Britain on it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not saying your water isn't good quality. It's that kind of, the mindset.
There is a huge mindset to it. I think we're probably ahead of the curve on it in Britain versus other places, particularly within Europe. Maybe that feeds into the whole free trade thing, that they're sort of used to that mindset. And I've definitely seen more of a lean towards that thinking post-Brexit as well. But it is interesting, and something that we need to be able to supply to our customers. So that was a big part of it. It's opened a lot of doors for us when we're looking at new business, particularly when you're tendering. It is something that that the companies are asking for now. So it's super powerful for us not just the sustainability, not just the COGS, but also being able to provide for our customers what they want.
Yeah. I mean, are there any tech solutions help you grow and streamline operations?
Yeah, so we're very early in our tech journey. When I joined a year ago, we were using Xero for the finance and Zoho One for multiple other different streams. Now, recently, I'm currently in the process of bringing in our first ERP and sales order management system. So using Unleashed with some, which has opened up a lot of doors for us in terms of time saving, particularly in terms of order processing to warehouse and receipt of goods, and which it's been long overdue.
Sure.
And as we expand, we'll only get more difficult, so now's the right time for us. But yeah, very early in our journey. So anyone watching, if you've got solutions, we're open ears to them. Because, yeah.
That's not what you should have said on this podcast.
No, okay. SDRs get him. Yeah.
Sorry. His email address is... Yeah.
Send it to info@canonwalk.com.
Oh, no. Risking me. Ready, kidding. Guys, leave me alone. Had you used Unleashed before in one of your previous ventures? Or
no, why did you pick that? So I, based on the previous companies I've been with, I've been in the NetSuite, the JDEs of the world, Anaplan, those sort of giants within the industry. But being a small business, a lot of the functionality wasn't necessarily applicable for us at this point that we're in at the moment. But B, the cost as well was not something that we could afford. So it was about finding right what suits our needs for the next 3 to 5 years at an affordable cost, and that we can build off of as well. Unleashed are always adding in new modules and things like that, which are really useful and give our sales team a bit more insight into their customers and trends.
Nice. And out of curiosity, how big is your sales team at the minute?
At the moment, it is 3. Okay. And I believe there is some hiring going on, which is exciting.
Nice.
Okay. The team is growing again, which is nice.
And are they getting directly into... So how do you get Kano into, you know, coffee shops, into, your Tesco's and things like that?
Yeah,
how
so are those guys doing? We're mainly a B2B business. Yeah. We have D2C through Amazon and Ocado, but that's sort of what we treat as our D2C arm or e-com arm. So a lot of our customers are the Bidfoods, the Breaks of the world, who are the providers to those local cafes and restaurants and coffee shops and hairdressers and everybody like that. And how you expand something while you're selling to somebody else, a middleman essentially, right? It's engagement with your partners and treating it like a partnership, rather than a sort of customer and supplier relationship. I think Kano's been built off partnerships, whether that be our suppliers or whether that be our customers.
Or Ricky Gervais.
Josh will still join some of the sales calls to maintain that relationship and show his face and engage with them, because it's super important. Without their sales team backing your brand and understanding your brand and the ethos and the reason for being, it's not going to, it'll sell, but it won't grow.
Are you selling outside the UK at all? Do you work with partners across Europe?
Yeah, so I mentioned we're in the States, we're doing a bit of business with independent wholesalers in California.
Okay.
But we also have a couple of places in Cyprus, in Bahrain, and a hotel in Greece.
Okay.
Start of our export journey. But we also provide to all of the F1 races as well. So we provide, believe, 8 out of the 10 teams with their water. And that Grant, the MD, actually went just as is by himself for his 40th birthday. He'll hate me for saying 40th birthday. But... went for his 40th birthday. He's got a video of Mercedes actually using Kano water in the cooling system because they wanted pure, clean water for that rather than what they had at Tesco.
So we've
got a video of Kano being used in an F1 car, which is insane.
Yeah.
To find all these hidden purposes that people are buying it for.
To be fair, when I envision a really cool F1 driver coming out, of the cockpit. Yep. Cracking a can of water seems much cooler than just a bottle of water, doesn't it? Let's be honest.
Yeah, and I think that's where we can help customers hit their sustainability goals as well, which everybody has their targets now, right? And FIA being one of them, for as an example, by removing the plastics, which is one of their KPIs, and moving to a more sustainable packaging, it's a knock-on effect to their business as well. It helps them to achieve what they want.
You know, it would be a cool collaboration. Now that, not that I'm working for Can of Water, if you want to extend
it. Any ideas, shoot them
up. Sorry, mate. Be a cool collaboration with Formula E, do you not think? As the official water supplier, Formula E sustainability, sustainable water.
So never say never, right? We have done some business with Prima, who are one of the F2 teams. So I think from that F1, we're starting to see that snowball into the other leagues as well. So
it is on record that I gave you that idea. Now, so if it does happen, I am legally...
Are you looking for commission?
I'm legally looking for commission.
So you're not paying me enough.
He's not paying me enough. I keep telling him we should do Formula E. He keeps ignoring me.
Yeah, I like Formula E. And, you know, I think that's one of the benefits of Cano as the brand. It can fit into any scenario. It can fit into a festival. It can fit into Formula E. It can fit into your water service at a hotel, for example, whereas there might be brands with more colourful packaging that don't necessarily suit every occasion. Whereas I think we fit in quite nicely into that sort of premium slot.
Cool. And roadmap, obviously, for the future.
Yeah.
I saw you literally 2 weeks ago just won an award for growth and stuff like that. So it's obviously a very exciting time
to be
part of Cano. Are you, I mean, first of all, I'm intrigued. Are you literally just sticking with the sparkling and still, obviously, you've got these different bottle tops now, if you're doing sport and stuff, but...
Yeah, you mentioned the caps. So we do have the resealable end, which allows... So we always have this term... down in one or on the run, the two occasions that people drink water. So we've got the resealable can for that reason. So that was a huge piece of innovation that we actually started quite early when we launched into Tesco's. They wanted a like for like. So if you're going to swap out a plastic bottle, people are on the run, they're going to put it in their bag. How do you seal it? So that's where the resealable end came from. Looking towards the future, the focus at the moment is format extension. So looking at, you know, smaller cans, different pack formats for back of store, and, you know, where you walk down that massive plastic water aisle at the back of any grocer, how can we disrupt that space and how can we get some footfall there? Aluminium bottles is something that we've always wanted to, but it's so expensive at the moment for that to reach the scale where it's possible for us, but something that is always on the agenda and could unlock other avenues for the sales team. New liquid, it's always a conversation, you know. Do we go into flavors? Well, what would the reason for doing flavors be? Right, so we started with a mission, and any new liquid that we do would be mission led, and so that's the bit that we're trying to identify at the moment.
Yeah, I imagine it's quite a tricky decision. That
it is, because it's a shift away from what we've done. But saying that, the business was always started to not just be water. You know, the guys showed me the very, very, very first business plan. It had coffee and all these sort of other drinks on there. So it's not something that we wouldn't do, but it would have to be mission-led. And how you do that in a drink is quite tricky. So that's what we're trying to identify at the moment. Yeah.
And just quickly touching on these lids, these resealables. I don't think I've ever really seen that in the UK. When I was in Asia, I'd seen things like this.
Yeah.
But I'd never really seen it.
So this is the XO end they made for us. They have a big presence in Southeast Asia, particularly with energy drinks and a couple of soft drinks over there. But we have exclusivity for water in Europe on those. And they're fantastic. And yes, they are plastic components for it. But those plastic components are captured in the recycling process. You shred your you shred the can down, mm-hmm. then the eddy current generator separates it out, and it's used for the energy for the production site, mm-hmm. for the recycling center. So it is captured and consumed in the recycling process.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah. But they're fantastic, and they've been a great supporter for us as well. Unlocked a lot of business. This can particularly goes into Virgin Airlines first class. So nice. I've never been able to afford a flight for it, but we've got pictures of Richard Branson in first class cracking a can.
Maybe
of water
if you say that a bit louder, they might hear outside.
No, EasyJet for me at the moment.
Yeah. Well, at least you're not on Ryanair.
No, exactly.
Moving on.
So number one tip you'd give to any listeners wanting to improve their operations?
Yeah, I think the first one is partnerships and not falling into that supplier contractor relationship. I think it's even more important for small business that who you're working with is bought into you as a brand, that they want you to succeed, that there's mutual growth there. So finding somebody that's not necessarily the biggest, but has the capacity to go there themselves is huge, because it then means that you've got that investment from them and they're willing to take the risk. That's something that Startsinger back in Austria did for us very well. So approaching every situation in a partnership as a partnership, whether that be your filler, whether that be your tech supplier, whether that be the DHL man that comes to pick up your parcels to ship them out. It's buying everybody into your brand and your identity, so that they feel like part of you. It was actually interesting. And I think this goes for whatever size, but I was at a conference recently and DHL had just won a Sephora contract and they turned the Sephora part of the warehouse into a Sephora shop, mm-hmm. right? Really buying the partners in together and binding them as one. I think when you become synonymous with each other, that's a great point that you've hit.
Yeah. It's like, and I know this podcast, obviously, it's about Cano War and stuff, but actually, Knotted, our agency, we've kind of had a similar thought process with partnerships as well, of not necessarily, finding people who are on that similar journey to you and you're going to support each other. And that's really helped us. So I can kind of resonate with that kind of journey that you're on with Cano as well. Because if you go with these big, they just don't care about you,
No.
They care about what they can get from you, whereas you.
Yeah, and those big companies providing incredible services, but for example, are the big haulage companies going to whack a brand a curtain on the side of your truck that says Can of Water,
yeah.
that goes around the country and people see it? Yes, for a cost, yeah. But it's just finding people at the right stage that.
Yeah,
identifying the partners that are right, similar stage to you, where they've got room for growth, mm-hmm. but not there yet, and then essentially being one and aligned.
Yeah,
it's it makes it more fun as well. It makes your day to day fun when you're calling up someone and going, "All right, mate, what's going on with this?" You get a more honest and workable relationship with them. It's been huge for me.
Yeah, that's a great tip, that. A little something we always end on. What's your favourite brand at the moment?
So, I've got a few, but I've been sort of getting myself in better shape and everything this year. It's one that I've started using recently, Simmer.
Yeah, I saw that note there, actually. Yeah. I played a football tournament with Simmer. You might have seen it on their socials. They do these football tournaments and stuff like that.
I haven't seen that.
Oh, you should get involved.
Sign me up, Simmer, if you're listening.
Well, you can join our team next time.
But, absolutely.
We played against the actual Simmer team in the semi-final of the tournament. They had a few ringers.
Yeah.
A couple of, international footballers.
Yeah.
Against us. I mean...
You mean you couldn't keep up?
Yeah, nearly. It was a really good game, actually. But, yeah, so it's funny you say that, because they're one of those brands that really smashing socials.
Yeah.
Simi, I actually really like the series he's doing. If you've seen this, is going around with his dad to Argentina, the football.
Yeah.
And all that stuff, so yeah.
No, they're just doing really good stuff. Yeah. And, you know, I've tried all of the meal delivery boxes that you have to cook. And, you know, when I'm floating between production site and water and cardboard and cans and the office, and it just makes it super simple and it tastes banging. So... Yeah. Discount code?
Discount code. Get it in. We actually got some free Simmer boxes from the football tournament as well.
Yeah.
They sent us a whole box of them. So
well, I'm definitely reason. Coming then.
Yeah, what position do you play?
Wherever you need me.
We just need Jon. Sorry, mate.
No, I was waiting for you to talk about your goalkeeping heroics. Drop that in.
Yeah, I wasn't meant to be goalkeeper at that tournament. I got shoved in there because I had an absolute blind eye. I was incredible. And I'm not even wearing my own trumpet. I was like...
Is that hat still going to fit after?
Yeah, honestly, that's what I thought. I was like prime frigging...
Thank God they didn't win it.
Yeah.
But no, I think that they're smashing it. I think it's great when you personally use a brand.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. Great. Any other brand which mentioned? You said there was a couple. I didn't know if it was
one. I've also started playing around with, you know, the functional mushrooms. So things like lion's mane and ashwagandha and reishi mushrooms.
Any good?
So I've been using the Grass & Co. Grass & Co. blends for those, which have been fantastic. The lion's mane particularly, I've noticed just that jumping between tasks has been a lot smoother, which when you work in supply chain and there's always a fire is really useful.
Nice.
So definitely recommend.
I saw companies like Bulk and these kind of supplement companies, they've started going into, you know, lion's mane and stuff like that as well. So it's becoming quite popular mainstream, I suppose.
Yeah, and Trip have just used it in their new mindful blends and things like that as well. So I think there's going to be some interesting MPDs and products that launch around that, which is really interesting.
Yeah, cool. That's pretty much all we've got time for. I mean, there was a lot of stuff in there.
Hopefully so.
Hopefully so. You can, if you've been listening, there's some interesting bits you can kind of take from that. If people want a can of water, where can they go get one?
So Tesco's, obviously, as we mentioned, your local cafe, coffee shops. That's lots of events, but you know, if you want to get a case and try it yourself, it's Ocado, Amazon is going to be the fastest ones to get it.
Okay.
Rather than trying to find it.
Awesome. And the little classic outro, which we always do, this has been presented by Knotted Commerce, your integration agency for e-commerce brands. If you want to find out more, you can do so at knottedcommerce.com. Thanks for listening. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.